Tonight. Now, we've been studying this Advent season. We've been studying, every year we do the series called Advent. And Advent is the celebration or anticipation of a very important person or event. And obviously, the first Advent was Jesus's birth. That's when he arrived, when he came the first time. And so that's what we celebrate at Christmas. And every year we do an Advent wreath, or, you know, we do it in a line so you can see it, but we light Advent candles, and you can see that there are four is burning today. We have the peace, joy, hope, and love candle, and we talk about those each week. We've been talking about Jesus is our joy, Jesus our peace, Jesus our hope, Jesus our love, and all those things. And tonight we come to the apex of all that. And really, at the apex, you can find the key to the treasure chest of joy, peace, hope, and love, all those things in one verse that's already been spoken or read tonight as we've looked at Luke 2. And so that one verse is in Luke 2, verse 11. And here's what it says. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." Now, the city of David is talking about Bethlehem. That's where David hailed from, was Bethlehem. That's where the prophecy said that the Messiah would be born through the line of David. Joseph was through the lineage of David. Therefore, Jesus, that's fulfilled prophecy, he was born in Bethlehem. "So for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, when you have a child, and you know, I have five of those children, you send out, typically when you have a child, you send out a birth announcement, right? You send out a birth announcement to your family, to your friends, announcing good news of great joy. Or by the time you have five like me on the fifth, it's sort of just news, right? And so, but you send out those birth announcements. They typically contain three things. They contain at least the name, the birthday, and the date of, the date of birth, the weight, the name, right? And so here's what we see in Luke. Luke gives us the birth announcement of Jesus. It's the greatest birth announcement the world has ever known, and it's 2,000 years old, and no matter how many times we read it, it still brings us good news of great joy. And this birth announcement that we just read in verse 11 contains three facts. It's not Jesus' name or his birth date or his weight, right? It's not 6 pound, 8 ounce baby Jesus, right? It's not his name, birth weight, or birth date. But it still contains three important facts that we need to know as we contemplate and consider what Christmas is all about. It says that he is the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. He's the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. In the city of David, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So there's three titles: Savior, Christ, Lord. Let's look at those three titles for just a moment as we contemplate what this night's all about as we lead up to communion. First, it says that Jesus is the Savior. He's the Savior. This is the first title. It reminds us why we need Christmas. If you have sinned one time in your entire life, then you need a Savior, right? And you know what? Romans 3:23, Paul tells us that that's all of us. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We're all sinners. We're born that way. We've committed many sins, right? We were born sinners. We've committed many sins. And so we're all, in God's eyes, we're all Grinches who've stolen Christmas. I mean, we all are bad bananas with hearts with holes, right? And so, and as a result of our sin, here's what the Bible tells us. It tells us that we're alienated from God. It says that God said back in Genesis chapter 3, he told us, he told Adam and Eve, and therefore us, "When you sin, you will die." Right? I mean, we die today physically because of sin. I mentioned my in-laws, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, they died. My dad died. Well, we die today because of sin, right? If there was no sin in the world, there would be no death. That's why for those who believe in Jesus, heaven is so special. It's so amazing. That's not the reason, really. It's because God is there. But one of the beautiful things about it is because that there's no sin there, which means we will never die. Right? But it's not just physical death in that meaning, it's spiritual death. Death is separation. And so God said, when you eat of that fruit, and for us, when we sin, we die spiritually. We're alienated from God and we're under the wrath of God because our sin has a penalty. It has a price, and that price is death. We die physically, we die spiritually because of sin. And so therefore, we need a Savior. Well, we need a Savior. And so the story of Christmas starts with with bad news, because it ends with great joy, right? I mean, it starts with our great guilt, because it ends with our great joy. I mean, we have great sin, and we needed a great Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. You know, we come into this room tonight with a lot of problems. Some of you have got financial problems. Some of you have kid problems. Some of you have marriage problems. Some of you have job problems, relational problems. We all have stress problems, right? I mean, we have got a lot of problems in this world, and the greatest problem that we have, our world has, is the need for a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. Jesus is that Savior, and that Savior is the greatest gift. All of the gifts that you've ever received for every Christmas you've ever lived, and all of our gifts combined with every other person in the whole world, would never compare to the greatest gift, and that's that Jesus is our Savior. That's what the angels announced that very night. The angels announced to the shepherds, a Savior, a Savior. And then they said, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is our Christ. Now, Christ, I'm sorry. Yeah, Jesus is our Christ. Now, contrary to popular belief, Christ is not Jesus' last name, okay? That's not Jesus' last name. It's a title. And in the Greek, Christ means anointed. And the Hebrew, Christ means Messiah. Now, there was a lot of little boys and a lot of men in that day who were named Jesus. Jesus was a common name. A lot of people were named Jesus, so there were a lot of Jesuses, but there was only one Christ. There was only one Christ. And we're told back in Genesis 3:15, God said that God would send a Messiah. He would send a Christ, a Messiah who would come and stomp on the head of our enemy, Satan, and destroy him. And there are hundreds of prophecies all through Scripture about this Messiah. Hundreds of prophecies, and Luke now tells us that Jesus is that Messiah. All those prophecies are fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed. He was anointed to come and to be a prophet. He was anointed as a prophet to preach the gospel. He was anointed as a priest to offer sacrifice for sins, but not just lambs and doves and goats, but to offer himself. He was anointed as a king who would reign. That's Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, which means God is the promise maker and God is the promise keeper. God promised he would send a Christ. He's the promise maker, but he's also the promise keeper, as all of God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus. So Luke tells the angels, unto you this day is born a Savior who is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. And then we see the title Lord. Now, Jesus was fully man. He was like you and like me as far as he was a fully man, but he was unlike you and unlike me in that he was also fully God. That's what Lord means. Lord is Jesus was fully man, but he was fully God, right? There's a term in theology for this that theologians call the incarnation. And, you know, those long theological words, and when I use those words with you, I always want to explain those words. And that word incarnation, it's very simple. It simply means flesh, right? I mean, and I want to give you a simple way that for the rest of your life, you can remember that Jesus was fully God in the flesh, that he was fully God, but he was fully man. And it's this way. It's very simple. Next time you have a hot dog, and you're going to have a hot dog, right? And when you have a hot dog and you grab you a can of chili con carne, you know, and we, like, I can't have that. But when you have that chili con carne, because carne means what? Beans with meat. That's what it means, right? And so, because that's carne means meat, and it comes from incarnation. Carne, it's like the Greek word for carnal. If you've heard of carnal, means fleshly, right? And so they come from incarnation. And so when you open that can of chili, when you're making your hot dogs, you can say, hey, kids, as we have these hot dogs, we need to always remember that Jesus was fully God, but he was fully man. Isn't that, God put that right on a can of chili for you. That's great, isn't it? And so, but he was fully God, fully man. He was fully God in the flesh. Another technical theological term for it is called the hypostatic union, which is basically the mystery of how the divine and the humanity is in one. It's a mystery. Listen, we can't really totally explain it. It's a faith thing, but we know it's the mystery of God. Jesus put on flesh. Man, he had skin, he had bones, he had blood pumping through his veins, just like you. He had little fingers and he had little toes, and he grew. He grew taller, and Mary probably had marks on the door frame from each age as he grew. He was fully man, but he was also fully God. And so the absolute wonder of the incarnation, as we look at Jesus, is we got to understand and we got to think that we look at that manger, and the one lying in that manger is our maker. Is that not amazing? The one lying in that manger is our maker. That kid was a king without a crown at that moment. That baby in that manger who couldn't yet speak a word was the word. That infant was infinite. That's what we see in the manger. He was God. That's what Lord, he was Lord. And Luke here, he's not telling a story like maybe you tell your kids a bedtime story sometimes. He's not telling a story. This is not make-believe land. This is not once upon a time, right? I mean, this is real. It happened in a real historical date. Now, chances are it's not December 25th. I don't want to pop your balloon here, okay? But that's when we celebrate it. What literal date, it doesn't really matter, but we celebrate it is what matters. And so, it happened on a literal historical day. It wasn't a day early, and it wasn't a day late. It was in the fullness of time God sent his son. It happened exactly as God, on the exact day. It happened in a historical city, 6,000 miles from here. It wasn't Bedford Falls, right? It wasn't Whoville. It was Bethlehem, the city of David. It happened. It happened that Jesus was born and Jesus lived. And that's what Advent is all about. And that's what Lord means. And here's the thing about Lord also. Lord means boss. Lord means boss. So when someone's your Lord, that means you do what they tell you to do. And so what I want you to understand is there is no dichotomy between Jesus being your Savior and Jesus being your Lord. And I know that many people think, well, he's my Savior, but he wasn't my Lord. If he's not your Savior, if he's not your Lord, then he's not your Savior. Jesus is Savior and Lord. He's your boss. When we surrender to him, it's not just about he saves us because we're good for his team, and then one day we get to go to heaven. No, he saves us. He saves us to represent him. He is our Lord, right? And so when we look at this manger, and when we look at Christmas, we come and we look at the manger, and it's great. We should contemplate the manger, but it would be remiss of us to just think about the manger without thinking about his mission. We can't just look at the cradle without looking at the cross. Why did Jesus come? Because that birth is so amazing. And obviously we'll celebrate that on Easter, another the most important probably holiday for us as believers in Jesus Christ. But we'll celebrate that on Easter. But we can't just look at the cradle without looking at the cross. Because if he was just born as a baby, I mean, that's great, but he was born on a mission. And what was that mission? Let me read it to you in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 7. It says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." You see, God didn't send his favorite angel. God didn't go find the most intelligent, the best looking, the strongest human being to sin. God himself came. Why did God himself come in the form of a baby? He came because only God could save us. Only God can save us. He lived a perfect life. That's why we're going to light tonight. We're going to light the Christ candle. We've been lighting these candles each and every week. We've already the hope candle, the joy candle, the peace candle, the love candle. And tonight we're going to light the Christ candle. It's the apex candle. It's the one that we light because it's the center of everything. And it's the Christ candle, right? And it's white. Why is it white? It's white because it represents the purity of Jesus. The purity. The Bible says that Jesus was perfect. There was no deceit found within his mouth. He had zero sin. Think about that. That's just an amazing thing when you think about it, because the Bible also says he was tempted in every way, just as you are, just as I am. That means that Jesus, that the enemy threw things before his eyes, guys, just like he throws things before your eyes. But he never lusted. He was tempted with greed. He had no place to lay his head. It says he was a homeless man. And don't you know he looked at the religious leaders and he was tempted with, but he never had greed. He never had hatred. He never had malice. He never gossiped. He never committed a sin. And it wasn't because he wasn't tempted. He was. But he was pure. Why? Because only a sinless man could pay the price for sinful man. You see, if it would have been you or me, then my sin, if I could have, it would have only paid for mine, but it couldn't even do that. But Jesus lived a perfect life to pay the price for all the sin of those who would believe him. Now listen, he didn't die and his death is not applicable to every single human being in the world. That's called universalism. Everybody's not going to heaven, folks, okay? I know that that's a feel-good story, and at this time of the year, it's just like everybody wants to make you feel good. That's not the story. It's not, all right? Right? I mean, the reality is death only applies to those who believe in him. So he lived a perfect life. That's why it's white. And then we light the candle because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The world he was born into was a very, very, very dark world. Our world is still a very dark world. You would think 2,000 years later, wow, there would be a lot of light in our world. And there are a lot of light in our world because there are a lot of Christians in our world. But listen, folks, there is a lot of darkness in our world. We've seen it greatly just continue to compound and grow over the last 2 years, haven't we? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so each year on Christmas Eve, we light this Christ candle, which represents his purity, which represents the light that he is. And it's just a symbol of those things. And so I want to light that candle tonight as we reflect and just recalibrate our minds on the fact that Jesus is the light in a very dark world. Now, as we think about Jesus being the light in a very dark world, the purity so that he could die or death, we also come on Christmas Eve, and each Christmas Eve, we celebrate that death. And that sounds a little bit weird in a way, to celebrate somebody's death. But Jesus actually set up a memorial for us to always remember and celebrate because it's such good news for us. Because he died the death we could never die. That's why we call it Good Friday on Good Friday. It was good for us, but it was bad for Jesus, but it was really good for us. And so he set up a meal. You see, that night that he was, after he lived for 33 years, and after he went through the temptations, and after he lived a stressful life, in a dark world, he went to the cross and he died. The night before he died, he was eating the Passover meal with his disciples. And Sherry, do you have one of those communion cups? Thank you. And after he was eating with his disciples, he took a piece of bread that night and he broke that bread. And when he broke that bread, he passed it around to all of his disciples that were in that room. And he said, this is my body. And they were like, what are you talking about, your body? I mean, you know, they just think, we look back and, oh, you know, 2020 vision backward, right? They were living this moment. They didn't know, folks. You got to put yourself in their shoes. They're still trying to figure this whole thing out. And they had no clue when he said, this is my body. They're thinking, no, Jesus, this is bread, right? This is bread. What are you talking about? He took a glass of wine and he passed it around and he said, this is my blood. And it's like, man, that sounds like something like a vampire movie or something. And so, you know, this is my blood. And they were like, what are you talking about? Well, he knew that they would know and we would know, and that's what we're doing tonight. And so if you did not receive, you see our guys walking around, if you did not receive one of these cups when you came in, hold up your hand if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, this is where it gets a little touchy for those of you who have your children here, because I've had five of those kids in these services, and what we ask you to do is, if they're not Christians, we ask you to hold them off. We know it can be tough because, man, they want to take communion. They want to know, what is that, man? I want to drink it, you know, and we know that they want to do that, and so, but we ask that you hold them off, and when you get home, then you can tell them the gospel. It is a great opportunity to say, this is why, dear, that you can't, or son, this is why you can't partake of communion yet, and you tell them what it means in a much more detail than what I can do, and in a way that they can understand it today, and you tell them this is what it means, and it's for believers, and that's why you need to hold off. But one day, I trust that Jesus is going to save your soul, and when he does, you're going to partake communion. We're going to celebrate that together, moms and dads. It's a wonderful gospel opportunity for you. But if you're a believer in Jesus, grab one of these things, and we will partake, and we will remember his mission together, that baby was born to die, right, and to come back from the dead to pay the price of our sin. And so I'm going to pray, thank God for his broken body and spilled blood, and then we'll partake of communion together. Father, thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that when we rebelled against you, we spit in your face. We walked away from you. We said, no, God, we want to do it our way. And Lord, we still do some of those things. But God, even when your creature rebelled against you, the creator, you still pursued us. You still came running to us. And God, you sent your son, which was not plan B, and it wasn't figuring out what to do next. This was your plan from the beginning. And Father, we marvel. It's the greatest love story of all times. It's the greatest action movie of all times. It's the greatest drama of all time. It's the greatest story of all time, Lord. You sent your son into this world to suffer the humiliation of being mocked by his creation, to be homeless, to have lonely feelings because his own disciples walk away. God, I thank you that you came, that your body was broken, your blood was spilled, because the price for our sin was death and we couldn't pay it. Thank you for paying it on the behalf of all those who believe in you. We celebrate you tonight, and Lord, we want to remember that body broken, blood shed. We would be remiss to just remember your birth without remembering your mission. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. That night, take the bottom where that little piece of unleavened bread is and peel it back and take that little piece of bread. And it's just a little piece of bread, but folks, it has a huge significance for believers. When he broke that piece of bread and passed it around that night, he told his disciples, take, eat, and remember. They didn't know then, but they would, and we know today. So take and eat and remember. Then he passed around that wine. His blood, life's in the blood. His blood represented his life. He was giving his life. That's why the blood of Jesus is so important. That's why the blood of Jesus is so important. And if you're a believer, oh, his blood is so precious. And so tonight, drink and remember his blood that was shed for you. Thank you, Jesus, that Christmas Day is over tomorrow. And Lord, for so many, that's just such a, Lord, it's a letdown because it's been building up and it's all of a sudden it's gone. But God, for the believer, I pray that we would know as we celebrate you, that God, it's about you and not about the gifts and the parties. It's about Jesus. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sherry, would you bring me one of those candles out, please? Hopefully you received a candle when you came in, and this is where you need to, watch your kids, and for many of you, your husbands, with a candle. You know, we talked about how Jesus, if you didn't receive one, raise your hand, somebody will bring you one. We talked about how Jesus is the light of the world. He said that in the book of John, I'm the light of the world. Do you know what else he said in the Gospels? He told his disciples that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Who lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel and hides it under a bushel? Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and know how good of a person you are. I hope some of you picked up that there's something wrong with that. That's not what he said. He said it all but the very end. He didn't say so that they will see your good works and know how good you are. He said so that they will see your good works and know how good God is. It's called living sent. That's what we challenge you to do here at LifePoint. We always want to end our Christmas Eve communion service by giving you a visual reminder of how we can impact this world if we live sent. Jesus is the light of the world, and he said you are the light of the world. That means we live the gospel and we speak the gospel. And so tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this one candle and I'm going to light this one candle off of the Christ candle as a symbol of how Christ lights up the soul of one human being. And that one, when that one human being lives sent and it passes that along, and then before you know it, what a world, what a change he's made in the world, or she's made in the world. And folks, if we know our world needs some light, and we know that Jesus is the answer. And so in a moment, we're going to turn the lights down low, and I'm going to light the candle. Our staff is going to make their way up to the front. Then I'm going to light their candle, and they're going to come through and light your candles, and you're going to pass it along to the person next to you. And I love this every year in our Christmas deal. I love seeing on Facebook so many people take videos. I love it because we can visually see this is who we are. Jesus has given us light, and we should go spread the light. We are the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then he told his disciples, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Who lights a lamp and places it under a bushel basket? No, you let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Shepherds quail. For our Spanish-speaking community, we will sing the first verse of Silent Night with our Spanish minister, Joey.
Noche de paz, noche de amor. Astros que esparcen su luz, viene anunciando al niño Jesús. Brilla la estrella de paz, brilla la estrella.
For our Arabic speaking community here, I'm going to sing in Arabic. Together in unison now, just that first, the very first verse, Silent Night, just our voices.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
You can see how one candle